What do I do if I have no idea what I want to do with my life? When I'm in the middle of my career and realize my work doesn't have meaning or purpose to me anymore? How do we tell our friends and family that we want to completely change our career? Where should we start in making such a big life change? And how can I know what to change careers to? This podcast was created to answer these very questions. My name is Travis Robinson, and you're listening to The Everyday Worker. When it comes to creating your career, it will never turn out how you want if you just sit around and hope that life gives you what you want. On this podcast, we talk a lot about how to find the right career so that you can finally start living a more fulfilling life. But oftentimes, the thing that is holding you back is your own mental barriers, beliefs that you have that are limiting you from having the life that you really want. So I'm really excited because today's guests learned how to take control of their life and create a career and a life that they can be excited about every day. Their stories are going to teach us that it's never too late to create your dream job, and that with the right mindset, you can create a successful life, even if life deals a crappy hand to you. Dean and Todd, I'm grateful to have you here on the podcast, and welcome.
Thanks for having us.
So much. Thanks for having us on board.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So this is going to be interesting because I've never had two guests on the podcast. So, this is a new one for me, but as I'm sure you talk about a lot in your business and in your coaching, you never get anywhere if you don't push yourself to do something a little different, right?
That's it.
So Todd, Dean, actually, I'm going to give you the mic first. Do you think you could maybe share a little bit about yourself and maybe first tell a little bit about your business, Alpha Omega, and the great work you guys are doing, and then you could go into your story and how you got to where you are today.
Fantastic. Yeah, of course. Look, my name's Dean. Our company, as you can see behind us, is called Alpha Omega. What we do is coaching, and we started this to start solving some problems that we're seeing in the world around, you know, things like choices, mindset, behaviors, habits, emotions, all these things, because we see there's a big issue out there with some things around mental health, anxiety, depression, and things like that. So we started coaching around those areas. And just recently, within the last year or so, we've been constantly asked and questioned over the last few years, because we've had quite a few successful businesses, why don't we start helping other coaches to increase or improve or even start their coaching business to, get them going as well. But we've always had that resistance to it, and Todd more so than me, because, you know, we just didn't want to be another one of those, you know, coaches for coaches, right? Yeah. It seemed to be so cliche that we just didn't want to be one of those people until we were sort of forced into that, and we had to drop our own limitations and limiting beliefs to be able to, you know what, we do have a lot of value. We can get a result very quickly. So why are we keeping it to ourselves? So why aren't we sharing it with others? So that's where we're at the moment, Alpha Omega. We do work with mindset, behaviors, emotions, business as well, to be able to create that whole lifestyle change with somebody. Because at the end of the day, if your day wants to be as happy as possible, then you need to work on all areas of your life to grab that balance, to grab those things that create happiness within yourself. So, yeah. How we come about was that we actually met in a gym. I've got a health and fitness background. I come out of school thinking the only thing that I wanted to do was play sports. So I went on to play high-level rugby league. And, you know, as it happens usually, I end up getting injured. Injury took place, which forced me to quit or to give up the professional life. And I had no idea what to do from there. I had no qualifications really. Until someone said, oh, I've got a job for you, so we can just do that. So I just went along with that, and I had these limiting beliefs that, you know, I couldn't stick to anything longer than 2 years. And every 2 years on the dot, somehow I'd self-sabotage myself, and I'm like, you know what, I feel like a change, I need to do something different. So I went from sport to, you know, irrigation to sales to warehousing to a manager role and things like this, until one day someone said, hey, why don't you just, can you train me? I know you learn a lot of things through footy and sport and things. So can you, you know, teach me some of the things that you learned? And I was like, yeah, why not? And started training with them. And I realized that someone came up to me and said, you know, this is a job, right? You can get paid for this. I was like, what? you mean I can train people, get them fit, and actually get paid for it? Wow, this is great. And from there, is life changed massively. I actually found something that I really enjoyed doing, and now I've been doing it well over a decade. I'm stuck past that two-year mark. I own my own gym. I had my own studio and gym for quite a few years now. And it's all about creating choices and changing mindset and creating that lifestyle as well. Plus, we've got Alpha Omega going, which is, you know, from our point of view, is helping those people realize that they've always got a choice to be able to make change of some sort. And it's a matter of finding those simplicities in life to be able to create those small changes as well. So that's where we're at. It's about, yeah.
So I'm really curious with the knowledge that you have now about mindset, motivation, and when you found yourself in that situation where you got hurt and now you had no idea what to do with your life, what would you have done differently if you could go back to that specific time? What would you have done differently with the knowledge that you have now of being able to choose and create the life that you really want?
Fantastic question. I like to look at that a little bit differently because I hear this question come up quite a lot from coaches. Like, what would you be doing differently if you had the information you had now to what? Yeah. And I choose not to think of those things because one, we can't ever change the past. And two, if I could change it, then I wouldn't be where I am right now. I couldn't have had those learning experiences. I couldn't have had those massive behavior shifts or those rock bottom moments where they are the biggest life-changing positions, right? So if I was to go back and take the information I know now, like I wouldn't be who I am right now. And if I consistently always look back at that, then I'm not taking on the learnings or anything properly to be able to jump into the person I am now. So it takes away my strengths as well. If I'm always looking back and regretting and things like that, I always say no regrets. It's a learning curve at the end of the day, and it's taught you to be who you are right now. Like, for instance, Todd will tell his story in a bit, but if he went back and changed what his past was, there's no way in hell he'd be who he is right now. So, there's no point looking back thinking, oh, what if, or imagine if I did something differently, right? Because you wouldn't be who you are right now.
Yeah. Well, I guess where the question comes from then is because if I was, so I'm imagining I'm listening to this and I'm in the situation that you were in back then where, you know, you've got fired from your job or you hate your job and you want to make a change in your life, but you have no idea like what you really want to do with your life. And, and I've talked to people and people who hear stories like yours, they hear that and they think, well, like you kind of fell into your passion. You know, you've kind of fell into something that you really like. And so somebody's going to think like, I can't just sit around and wait for that passion to come, or I can't bumble around and do a bunch of different things every 2 years and hope that they figure out what they really want to do. And I don't really know where I'm going with this question, but I guess, you know,
you have to experiment quickly.
Yeah.
Experiment quickly. The faster you experiment, the quicker you learn. Right. And some people, you know, and this comes down to different kind of personality types, but effectively some people hang on to things for a really long time and some people like to change things very, very quickly. Right. And obviously if you look at judge or perceiver in regards to my Myers-Briggs kind of types, like people that are more perceived want to have that open flexibility, they'll change more often. People that are judges like that structure and the order, and they'll change less often. But in respect to finding your passion, right, or finding something that you can love, I just think experiment quickly, because like, if you don't try new things, how are you going to know what you like and dislike? You can't imagine what you're going to like and dislike because you actually have to do the thing, right? It's experiential.
I think, go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's a bit like that movie, Yes Man.
Yeah.
Unless he said more yeses to things, like he was never going to experience more things to say whether he liked it or he didn't like it. And most people these days are too quick to judge and to say no to things without actually giving it a go and trying, right? Like back when I was overseas playing footy, I said yes to so many things on the fact that, you know, most people don't choose to do things like this. Most people will say, no, oh no, I'll get judged too much. But I did things just for the story at footy training the next day, right? Yeah. Which gave me a boatload of new experiences and new stories to be able to tell through my life, because I like to live the way that, what are the stories I'm going to tell my son or my grandkids when I'm older, am I going to get to that age
not that story.
Probably not those stories, but am I going to get to that age where I'm going to have very little stories to tell him, or am I just going to keep repeating the same stories over and over, or am I going to have a boatload of things to be like, you know what, when I was your age, I did this, this, and this, and it was the most amazing experience, or you know what, I could have done this better, but it turned out to be a great story at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So a lot of those stories aren't really for camera, but yeah, it was fun and it was a big experience.
Well, I think that's such an important point that you bring up, where someone who hasn't really been immersed in this world of like personal development and mindset, they don't listen to like Tony Robbins and stuff. They don't like people don't understand that you can just shift the perspective of how you look at something. And so like someone could look at your story, Dean, and say, well, he just quit a bunch of different things over, you know, every couple of years. Or you could look at it as you were experimenting quickly, like you said, Todd, and how that's going to lead to the passion that you have. And looking at it in a positive light, that quitting every 2 years is actually providing a lot of value, a lot of experience for you to figure out what's that passion is, what you're going to do with your life.
Each situation that I was in, I gained a learning of some sort, right? I got to work with my hands. I got to learn how to be a manager and lead people. I got to learn how to do sales, which we do every single day, just selling ourselves to people. Mm. It's selling our message. It's the key elements that you learn across the time frame that you're doing these things that you'll take into what you will do in the future. So
yeah, it's awesome. Todd, let's move over to you. What's your story a little bit? What's your background? How'd you get to where you are today?
Yeah, right. So my story is a little bit different to Dean's, as you know. So my background is kind of like the naughty boy story, I suppose. It's probably the easiest way to say. I was diagnosed with ADHD when I was 5, ran away from home when I was 11, got involved with drugs, crime, violence, all the people, right? You can imagine the types that are kind of in those kind of circles, and was being pretty silly, pretty dumb. I was smoking crystal meth every day by the time I was 16. That kind of ends in one place, as you could imagine, and it landed me in prison for the first time when I was 17. So over here in Australia, we've got big boy prison, which is 18 plus, and you've got a 17-year-old section, then you've got juvenile detention, which is 16 years and below. So I went to the 17-year-old yard, and, you know, it's really interesting when I went there in respect to things that have shaped me, right, experiences. Because, you know, I landed in this 17-year-old's yard. I made a fantastic life choice when I was there, by the way, which was, you know what, Todd, maybe smoking crack every day is not the best for you, your health, and the kind of life you want to maybe create, right? Yeah. I didn't really have much of a future end to my thought process back then. It was very much in the moment. But I was like, you know what, this is very bad. I should stop it, which I did. And it was great. My body thanked me greatly for it. But when I was in there, what I find most interesting, right, and obviously, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot over the years, but like I didn't change fully when I was 17. And the reason why is because when I was 18, I had the big learning. But like when I look at the people I was hanging around in the 17-year-old yard, I think this is why I like working with kids as well. Like none of us took ownership for why we were there, right? I'm 17. There's a group of other 17-year-old boys, testosterone's through the roof. And not one single one of us said, shit, you know what? I wish I didn't hurt that person. I wish I didn't do this crime. I wish I didn't do that. There's no remorse, right? It was like, I wish I didn't get caught. I wish I didn't, you know, the cops got me. That was the typical thing, yeah? And it makes me quite sad to remember that, like a lot of these kids, yeah, because we're 17, we're effectively still kids, yeah, especially boys. But like a lot of the kids that were there, they were excited about getting out, committing crimes again, to be able to go back into the big boy prison where all of their family, cousins, and friends were. Especially like over here, we've got our Indigenous folk is the Aboriginal folk. And like I've got a lot of Aboriginal friends. And I remember like when I was there in the 17-year-old yard, like lots of Aboriginal kids. And none of them were excited about getting out. They're all excited about going to the next part of prison, which, you know, it's really sad when you think about that. But I got out, which was fantastic. No more drugs, was life-changing. And I didn't realize the way the mind works, right, which is that when you stop something, you need to replace it with something else. Otherwise, your unconscious mind wants to fill the gap, yeah, which is why when people try to lose weight, they typically gain it back plus a little bit more, right? It's like I lost 10 kilos, but I gained 12. Because the unconscious mind hates to lose things. So I started drinking. I became a binge drinker. I got sent to Alcoholics Anonymous when I was 18, part of my court order parole. But like I was drinking, I was fighting a lot of hurt, resentment, and hate in my heart from things that had occurred when I was younger. There was various forms of physical and emotional abuse that I suffered from when I was a kid. But I landed in prison again. However, when I was in prison when I was 18, I was facing a range of charges, assaults, different things like that, plus a charge that I didn't do. Yes, I got charged with a crime I did not commit. Someone had gone to the police, made up a massive lie. And unfortunately, because of my past, the legal aid said to me, look, Todd, chances are they're going to make an example out of you and this is going to stick. The best thing you can do is to plead guilty and I can try to get you a good deal. Now, for me, number one, I've got a massive amount of pride, so there's no chance I was going to take that lying down. But like even that, the legal aid trying to convince me to agree to doing something that I didn't do which blows me away, right? Like he's there to fight for me and he's telling me to cop a charge and agree to something I didn't do, which blows me away. But I was sitting in prison for about 8 months and like this was my big moment, yeah, because when I went there, like I still was blaming everyone and everyone, everyone for everything that had gone wrong in my life, right? Like it was the police's fault that I was there. It was my mum. It was those people in the drug scene. It was the guys that I was out fighting with. Like everybody else was responsible for me being there except me. And like that's the cycle of victimhood that keeps so many people stuck because like, yeah, when things go wrong, we hate to be wrong, right? There's like this incongruence that occurs when we get faced with the fact that we've messed up and we have to own that stuff. And it's really, really hard to own. But the power that comes from owning your stuff, right, is that you get massive growth. So I'm 8 months in and it's looking like I'm going to spend 10 to 15 years in prison for a crime I didn't do. And I sat there, I'm like, holy crap, this is all me. Like every single step of the way, like I ran away from home, I got involved with those people. Even though I was young, I still made the choice. I made the choice to do the drugs. I made the choice to hang around those people. I made the choice to drink the alcohol. I made the choice to fight. And like for me, that was my ownership moment, right? And it completely changed everything. For me, I had a massive shift and I said, you know what? I'm going to get out and I'm going to prove everybody wrong. I'm going to prove them all wrong, right? Because for a long time, I'd prove them all right. Everyone said, Todd, you're going to end up in prison. Todd, you're going to be a joker, a criminal for the rest of your life. You're going to go nowhere. And that was like what I was having projected on me from the external world. And I proved them all right. So I'm like, you know what? Stuff you. I'm going to get and fix this. And the weirdest thing happened, right? I don't know if anybody watching this believes in God or anything like that. I'm definitely spiritual. I'm not necessarily religious. And like, I do believe that there's something there, right? And I think that that something doesn't necessarily let you proceed past challenges until you get the appropriate learnings. Because I got this learning, like, this is me. I took ownership for my creation in my own chaos, right? And the weirdest thing happened 2 weeks after this, right? I get a letter from the court saying that the person that went to the police and lied withdrew their complaint, said it was all fabricated. 2 weeks after that, I'm released from prison and I'm a free man. Wow. Crazy. 4 weeks after just owning my stuff. Mm. Crazy stuff, right? So now I'm a very firm believer that life happens for us, right? Every challenge, every obstacle, there's gifts hidden in hard times. If we can, you know, be discerning enough to find what those gifts are and we can make sure that we don't let ourselves be a victim to the circumstance. Yes. Everything's got growth in it. But that started the next chapter, right, which is, well, shit, hang on a minute. I'm 18 and a half at this stage, 18 and almost 19, yeah. And I'm like, I've got no skills. I dropped out of school when I was in year 10. I did 2 years of a chefing apprenticeship. I've worked in trucks. I've done warehousing, manual labor. I've got nothing, right? Dad's a truck driver. Mum does reception work. Who the hell am I? What am I going to do? That was my whole thing. And it was really confusing because all I knew is I didn't want to be that person anymore, right? I didn't want to sell drugs and be involved with those losers because they really were. Like you are the people you hang around most often, right? And if they've got a low standard of operation in their life, you will go down and get into rapport with their standards. No matter how high your standards are, you'll always lower your standard to match the people that you're around, which is that whole idea of, you know, your circle of five is the people you are like most. But I was very, very sold on not being that person anymore. So, you know, there's this whole personal growth hype thing, right, which is, you know, just be positive, focus on what you want, which I agree with completely. but I'm also not delusional enough to think that you can have everything mapped out and crystal clear from day one. Because I had no idea who I wanted to be. The only motivation I had was to not be that criminal anymore. And that was enough. It was enough to start making better choices. There's a guy named Jeff Olson from Emory. He's got a book. In fact, it's this one here. It's called The Slight Edge. Really, really good book. I recommend it. I read that when I was 19. And it talks about, you know, changing your life doesn't have to be this big dramatic thing, yeah? Because I had lots of things to change. I was at the bottom of the absolute bottom. I had absolutely nothing going right in my life. I was just free. That was it. That was the only good thing I had. And like, I read this book and it kind of said, life isn't this big dramatic episodes like people jumping off of a building, rescuing the lady that's getting kidnapped by the terrorists, you know, grabbing onto the helicopter and climbing up and saving the day. Like people think that's what change looks like in their life. But the fact is that when you change your life in any area, health, wealth, finances, career, relationships, it's the small, there are big, massive, I say that there are big, massive action moments, but there's these little tiny compounding actions that you take day after day that completely change your trajectory. Like it's the difference, right? If we use a health metaphor, that like each day you're presented with the opportunity to eat healthy or eat poorly, right? You can eat the salad or you can eat the fatty cheeseburger. You make that choice, boom. One's going to make you a bit more healthy. One will make you less healthy, right? And we compound these choices. And if you take that out, you know, 12 months from now, it's like little choice upon little choice. Your life can be much better or it can be much worse. It took me 7 years to climb my way out of that hole. I literally went and worked in warehouses. I worked on trucks in regards to career. I studied. I became obsessed with learning, right? Obsessed. I hated learning in high school. I was not an A-grade student. I hated learning. But when I was 19, I was like, holy shit, I need to improve me. That's like literally the prime directive right now. I need to improve me. And like, that's what shifted me, right? I got involved in sales. Then I went and learned hypnotherapy, positive psychology. And literally from that, I got the proposition to start a business. Literally started a business, had no business skills at all. If you're people watching this right now are scared of starting something because they don't know how to do it, just do it. Who cares? The worst thing that can happen is that you fail.
Yep.
And that's okay. I said this earlier, right? Fail fast because that way you grow quicker. Mm-hmm. And like, I had no idea what to do with business. And literally this guy said to me, hey, let's start a sales company. I said, mate, whatever, let's do it. And we did it. We started a sales company, started recruiting people. I've never done recruitment in my life. And like, people don't realize this either. It's like, I'm naturally introverted. Dean's extroverted as all hell. I'm naturally introverted, right? So I'm happy to sit there and chill. I charge my batteries alone, baby. But like I'm doing all these things and I'm shifting my personality because when I got out of prison, I hated people because I've been betrayed so much in my life. I didn't trust anyone. So like relationship-wise in my life, I had horrible relationships. I trusted no woman. I thought everyone's going to find a way to hurt me based on my past experiences. So there was lots of barriers and things I had to break down in my life to be here right now talking to you. Yeah. But like to summarize best, they all got pulled down. Everything changed just from doing, not thinking, just do it. Like it sounds so simple. And like that's the magic. It actually is simple. Just do it. Started a business. Wow, shit, we're doing it. Started recruiting people. Holy shit, we're really doing it. Started getting money coming in, really good money coming in. Wow, what the hell's going on? I don't know what you call it over there in the US, but over here we've got a welfare system called like housing commission areas, right? And like, you know, that's kind of what I grew up in, right? Which is whatever you call it over there. We call it like being on the dole and stuff. But like that's the kind of the stuff that I grew up with. So like for me, when we started earning good money in the business, and I tell whoever's watching this right now a little secret, it's very important that you shift your money mindset because trust me, when you start making really good money, which you all can do it, right? You can all do it. It's just making good money is a combination of having the right skills and applying the right skills to the right vehicle, right? Whatever the vehicle happens to be, it could be a sales company, it could be a management firm, whatever your passion is, right? When you apply the right skills to the right vehicle and you be consistent, that's how you get the things that you want. And like we started making excellent money, but boom, we didn't understand business. Holy crap. Not just that, I was a bum growing up. I literally used to like borrow people's clothes and stuff. Now I've got all this money and I'm like buying the most ridiculous thing. You've seen that thing, right? It's like, you know, when you get your paycheck and you see the memes, when you get your paycheck, then you buy ridiculous stuff and it's the guy in the car with the tiger. That's basically it, right? And it was ridiculous. Anyway, we got smashed by one of our main contracts because we would do sales for other companies. They'd basically hire us, we'd go in, learn about their product, hire a complete external sales team for them, and then push their product and make sales for them and make commission. And one of our contracts literally hit us up for $200,000 clawback. And it like rocked us because we had money coming in, but lots of money going out. I said to my business partner, like, holy crap, man, what do? We did not have 200K in the bank account right there and then. And that was our main contract. Mm-hmm. So literally they had the power to freeze all future money coming in unless we sorted it out. But once again, lesson in being flexible, lesson yep. in resilience. Because I said to my business partner back then, Aaron, I'm like, dude, what do? We either throw in the towel, go bankrupt, or we make this work. And what we did is we went in, we negotiated the contract. We said, look, guys, we're doing more sales for you than you've ever received. We know that's true. And they're like, you guys are doing quite a few sales. We would hate to stop doing sales for you and go somewhere else. How about we make this work? What do you think would work? And then they obviously gave us flexible payment terms, which was great. And then we increased sales, which pushed us through that thing there. But I learned the importance of systems, yeah, especially if you are going to get into business. You have to have systems in place. We did not have administration systems, operation systems, and we didn't have systems set up for our sales. We could just sell and we could recruit. That was it. So we fixed all that up, right? At the same time as doing this, I was doing coaching as well. So my coaching business growing simultaneously. Yeah. But everything went kind of bonkers after that. We got some new contracts and it was crazy. I think, you know, when it was about 2014-15 at this stage, we're doing anywhere from $200,000 to $400,000 a week in commissions as a company. So I was absolutely nuts. Stupid money, stupid things, stupid purchases. Rocked up to Dean one day, he goes, where did you get that car? I'm like, I bought it. but you know, I'm a very firm believer right now that, you know, no matter how great life's going, you're always moving. Some would say this is pessimistic, but I'm the first to say that I'm the most pessimistic optimist you'll ever meet, because I think we're always moving towards our next pitfall. Mm-hmm. The intensity of the pitfall, the duration that you're down there, depends on how much awareness you can have, right? And you, each pitfall you hit gives you coping mechanisms to progress you to the next stage in life. And for us, we were going great. As I said, 200K to 400K per week going into the business in regards to our commissions. And like, what could go wrong? Like, what could go wrong? Yeah, everything can go wrong, obviously. But we got smashed with a couple of contracts that we had. We got in bed with the people. Great lesson there as well about, you know, really assessing who you do go into business with. And that ended up costing us upwards of $1 million, which was not that nice to encounter. And that really made me quite bitter towards sales, made me bitter towards people again. I kind of went into my introverted shell. But it was interesting because that pushed me forward into the next iteration of my life, which was no software experience do I have ever. I'm literally like a gorilla with a keyboard. And I thought, what a great idea it would be to start a software company. So this is 2016. Everything had just, the metaphorical shit had hit the fan. And I'm like, you know what? Let's start a software company. I met this guy when I was out in Brisbane City, and he experienced the same pain I had. He used to have a sales company. We both used to do like recruitment all the time. We're like, you know what? Recruitment sucks. There's nothing worse than having an interview with someone and they're nothing like their resume. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wouldn't it be great if we could have an application, right? Some software that matched the candidate to the job based on their skills and their personality. Mm-hmm. And obviously there was nothing that did that, right? So he had a bit of tech background. I had none. But what we did was we got together, we started a business and we started to build this personality profiling system that can match people based on their personality and their skills to jobs. Yeah. We called it job ranking. And like that was the next journey, right? And it was really cool. No experience doing that. But within 6 months, we had a team of 10. Another 6 months from then, we'd gone down the venture capital routes. We'd raised, I think, $1.5 million in venture capital, which is really interesting, you know, doing the whole angel investors thing. Lots of learnings there in regards to getting told no, laughed at. That doesn't feel very good. But we did it, right? We raised the money. Everything was going sensational. But once again, we're always moving towards the next pitfall. And the next one that was coming was pretty sensational, I got to tell you that. It was sensational learning coming here, which was once again, getting the wrong people involved in the business, which ultimately, once again, when you've got like, you know, one group of people wanting to go one direction in your business and another people wanting to go a different direction, ultimately it pulls the business apart, right, if you can't fix it. But that just literally blew up in our faces, which was quite horrible because I was exceptionally passionate about that. But once again, you know, I think everything happens for a reason, because when that all kind of fell over, you know, Dean and I kind of got back into this Alpha Omega thing much more intensely, and we really started to focus here, which was really good. You know, in hindsight, everything's, you know, it's 2020 vision in hindsight. Because when I look back, it was really upsetting having that stuff collapse around me. But when I look at it now to see like them, for example, with the software company, like they continue to try to do what we were doing by themselves, and it's not working. Yeah. And then when I look at what we're doing here, and we just love it. It's like every single day we love working with our clients, the students that we have, they're absolutely amazing. I'm like, you know what? I don't think I'd want to do that software thing if I could go back and change things. Once again, you got to go through it to learn those lessons.
Yeah.
But yeah, that kind of brings us full circle all the way up to here, mate. So now obviously we're here, we do this.
That was a short intro.
Yeah. It's now 2020.
Yeah, you're an easy guest. I don't even need to ask questions about what you learned or anything like that. You give it the whole package. I love it.
Storyteller in a different life.
So I've listened to a few of your guys' podcasts and watched a few of the videos that you have on your website. If people resonated with your guys' story and the things that you're talking about with mindset and personal development, you know, really grabbing and controlling your life, where can people go to find more of the content you're putting out?
Yep. So you can head to our website, aofoundations.com. We've got a podcast section on there that you can go and listen on there. But also on our homepage, we've got a heap of free content that you can grab hold of, things for emotions, things for mindset and things like that give you structure and frameworks to be able to, you know, deal with certain things that are going on with your life. So aofoundations.com, that is for our main website. You can also follow us on Facebook or Instagram. They're our main ones that we use. Facebook more than Instagram, really. But either they're at Alpha Omega, or just hit us up by our personal names, Todd Pierce or Dean Martin. And before you ask, yes, I am a great singer. No one else can appreciate real talent when they hear it, though. So it's a bit disappointing. you might be a bit young for that, Travis, to know who Dean Martin is. But that is definitely my name.
I've heard the name, but yeah, not super familiar. I'm terrible with any kind of like actor or singer. Like, I'm not good at any of that stuff. But if you have time, I have just one question for you, and it's your choice how long you want to make your answer. So I'd be curious to hear from both of you. What does it mean to each of you to have a fulfilling or meaningful career?
All right.
Yeah, a meaningful and fulfilling career. It means that you can wake up every day and turn up to your place of work or what you do and never, ever, ever say, wish I could have slept in a bit longer, or I wish I was doing something else, or I wish I was at home or on holidays. Like, literally, I go away on holidays, and the longest I've been on holidays was a month long. And from 1 week onwards, the whole time I was thinking, I was like, I wonder what my clients are doing, I wonder what my students are doing. I just want to be back. Like, I love holidays, don't get me wrong, I absolutely love them, but I also love my lifestyle as well, because I choose the people I get to hang around. They're amazing. I call them all my family, and that's for a reason, because I've never heard anyone, well, some people do, but you know, most people, if they enjoy their family, I've never said, oh, I've got to go hang out with my family and have a barbecue. Wow, this is going to be a bore. Right? But if you enjoy the people you're around, you really enjoy turning up to what you do every day. Now, there's no point doing something if you hate it. This is where passion comes involved. Find exactly what you want to do and work out a way to monetize it, to be able to, you know, be able to pay for your bills and things, or create a lifestyle that you want. Because truly, if you can have somewhere where you can turn up every single day enjoying what you do, every day becomes so much easier. It becomes, yeah, amazing.
That's awesome. What about you, Todd?
So the question was a meaningful career, yeah?
Yeah, what does it mean to you to have a fulfilling or meaningful career? Yeah.
I think a meaningful and fulfilling career really, I think it comes down to, as to make it super simple, right? It's about enjoying what you do, right? Too many people, they do what other people think they should do. Yeah, you know, there's cultural reasons why when you get people from different ethnicities, you've got family-based expectations where, you know, your family that say you should do this or should do that, or this is part of the family, it's a family business. And I feel like some people allow themselves to get pressured into things that they don't necessarily want to do or they don't like it. And like, that's the kind of thing that eats away at your soul. So like, you know, 10 years later, you're sitting there going, oh my God, I hate my life. So I think it's really about getting in touch with who you are, what you enjoy doing, and not just that, making sure that the environment doesn't like sap your energy. You can tell when you're doing something that's not aligning with who you are and what you want to do by how you feel. Like if you're waking up each day and you're just dreading the day, if the end of the day comes and you're absolutely drained, like look, you may have physical reasons why you're drained. Maybe you need to get your bloods tested. But aside from that, like, I think that's what it is for me. It's that, you know, what would you do if you could do anything without even needing it? If money wasn't a thing, what would you be doing? What would you actually enjoy doing? What kind of people would you love working with? For me, that's where the fulfillment comes with, right? It comes from working with people I love to work with and serving people as well. Well, you know, they say that's pretty cliche, but the secret to living is giving.
Yeah.
But it's true. So when you make an impact in other people's lives, I find that does tend to give you a sense of meaning and purpose as well.
That's awesome. Awesome, guys. I really appreciate your time today. And I think you shared really valuable stuff for my listeners. And so thank you and have a good one.
Good job.
You're welcome, man.
Thanks, Trav.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Everyday Worker. If you want to find more great content just like this to help you in your career change journey, go to everydayworker.com. There you'll find my blog, all my podcasts, and other free resources such as my Career Change Masterclass, where I share what's stopping you from switching to a fulfilling career and how you can overcome those challenges. Again, go to everydayworker.com to learn more.